smash factor.
Ripping driver going for it.
Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Man, that is beyond long.
Look at this. He's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
Hello world, huh?
Welcome everybody to week 36 on the 2020-2021 PGA Tour, our third major of the year with the U.S. Open. Big week this week, very difficult course, track, a lot of strategy to talk about, digest. Obviously, all moved in. You can see we are still unpacking, but got the office set up enough to be able to do the show live now. Hopefully progress with that throughout the upcoming week or two, getting the office finalized and making sure all the sound and everything sounds good. We'll see how this one sounds going back. Did some tests, sounded good, but you never know until it's actually published. Last week, Palmetto, obviously super difficult. What do we have? Most contests, around 89% of the people had four or six or less. So one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in recent time to see 5 of 6 and 6 of 6 combined to be 11, 12, 13% in some spots. Very, very low, which will be kind of be a theme this week. We'll get into that on the strategy part of it. Taking into consideration also, which will be even more of the theme, is how important finishing points are going to be this week. Guys that can get streaks, even though they may bogey. The scoring, will be very low or high, depending on how you want to look at it. High golf scoring, low DraftKings scoring. I don't know if we have a winner that breaks par this week. If we do, it's going to be few and far between that actually break par over the 4 days of the tournament. So we'll get into that just a little bit. For me, it was a slight loss on the week. Had plenty of runners Sunday. I was over the field on 5 of 6 and 6 of 6s. Had some great 5 of 6s. Both of them had Garnett in it, who missed the cut by one. So that kind of sucked. But, the one that was running, it got up to 11th, was the highest it got up in the large MMEs. It had Vegas, English, and DJ. So when DJ kind of made his run on the front, and at one time, I think all three of those guys were top three, tied for first, tied for second. For sure, we're all in the top three. That's when I'd made my big jump up to 11th. Had Will Gordon in that lineup, and he went off in the morning, had shot seven under to kind of give a spark. So, and then immediately, like once it peaked, Vegas, English, and DJ just kind of hit the wall and all fell apart those last several holes. So you have a chance in something like that. That's all you can ask for. Take it, move on, keep grinding, go to this week. Betting, I hadn't done the matchups. I didn't do many matchups because obviously, as I told the premium members, I was moving and was going to be limited to internet and research and all that. So I haven't recapped that. I'll get that out by Tuesday. This is Monday, mid-morning-ish. PGA, or the betting card, I did not have the outright. Redmond was probably the only one that was somewhat up there, and he didn't. I had some DJ combo stuff, but none of that would have panned out even if he did win. Redmond made a little bit of a run early. Finished, I think, 6th, 10 under. Good finish for him. Just didn't get it done as far as betting goes. I was over the field in Higo, talked about him, and Wilco, Niebuhr. I don't know if I'm saying that right yet, but I wish Wilco wouldn't have showed as much flash as he did, because I really wanted to get him low owned this week. I knew Higo was going to be higher owned last week and this week. Now that he is in it, just got added at 7,200. I saw that as I was pulling some numbers. The Palmetto data is finalized. I'll update my rankings. Everything I did for this was prepped last night, so it's without the Palmetto numbers in it yet, but we'll get all that refreshed, and I'll go into some of that on Tuesday tidbits and movers and shakers on Wednesday. But kicking myself for not betting Higo. I probably should have. I liked him. Was way overrated on DraftKings, so that helped, but Was kind of, he won it by all credit. I mean, he won it, but it seemed like guys kind of fell back to him. Obviously they did, because Hadley fell back to everybody. Those who were around Wednesday, he was my fade of the day Sunday in Showstoppers, and kind of thought he would shoot plus two or three, which he shot worse. What did he shoot? Well, three? Was it plus? No, shot plus four. So I felt he'd come back to the field and thought we'd have some guys, some action there. You know, and DJ, I mean, he's sitting there at 11 under. If he just shoots even par those last seven, eight holes, he's at least tied to go to a playoff. So had the opportunities, but, you know, good week. I enjoyed the course. I thought it was nice. The tournament was, you know, kind of crazy and all over the place, but it's not going to be much different than this week. As far as DraftKings strategy goes, we're going to be dealing with similar, you know, a course that sounds to play as tough as it ever has played. Can't really use, you know, the Torrey South data historically too much. I think you could take a look at it just to kind of look at that. You can look at 08 leaderboard. Maybe that helps some. I think we're 13 years from that now, so I don't know how much that helps either, but we'll dive all into that. First, US Open. Use the code US Open this week, 30% off. It's our largest discount of the year. We only bring it out for the majors. And then when we do NFL college football kickoff, but includes a 7-day free trial. So if you sign up now, you will get this week the U.S. Open basically for free, and then you can cancel. So if you just want to use this for the U.S. Open, that's fine. If not, cancel and move on. If you stay with us, then you're going to get, let's say you do the monthly package. I think that's the best one to do. You could do a weekly and you'd get next week, whatever. But if you do the monthly package, you're going to get the Travelers, the Rocket Mortgage, the John Deere, and then the Open. This will take you all the way up to another major. So it's a good time to try us out, get a free week in there on a monthly tryout as well. US Open gets you 30% off. If you want to get some GC gear in the GC store, this goes to all, you know, members and non-members. US Open gets you 40% off this week. We're trying to blow that stuff out, get some fresh gear in for the fall, for football and all that kind of stuff. So let's buy some gear up, get that inventory out of there. 40% off everything in the store this week. US Open is the code. Rate and review us on iTunes. I will be doing giveaways Wednesday on Movers and Shakers, based just on that, on everybody that's rated and reviewed us on iTunes. If you've already done it, do it again, just to make sure. If not, I do pull all the lists, so I'll have it. Subscribe and like this video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. It goes a big way. Like this video in the comments section. Tell me who your favorite fade is, 10K and above. I will do another comment tomorrow, and all that will be given away on Wednesday. So we'll have a bunch of giveaways on the Movers and Shakers pod, so be sure to listen tomorrow to see how to get into even more free giveaways. Listener leak is up. I put it up, I think, Saturday afternoon. 650 spots, 1K to first, 3 max per usual, limited rake, and flat payouts. Last week's winner was T-Strick 1, 472 points, 6-6, which is very impressive. DJ Higo, RCB, EVR, Nina Burr, and Lee. So very solid lineup. Hopefully he had that in some other stuff. He has already accepted the invite to the end of the season, kind of big Champions League. So looking forward to seeing him there. Now we go straight to this week. We're just going to go right on into it. Torrey Pines South. If you're using our tools, which I highly recommend, come check them out this week for free. We have the lineup optimizer that continues to grow. Have a call tonight where we are starting to finalize our prep work for NFL and college football tools that'll be added on. The lineup optimizer already has all the sports in it. We're fixing to add stacking ability for baseball and football as we approach that. NBA's in there. You can use it for showdown. The Green Machine is awesome. It is a great lineup optimizer. It is very simple. It's simplistic to understand, but it does a lot. And so I've had a lot of great feedback for the guys that actually get in there and use it. Come check it out now. In our tools, though, our golf tools, you can do full model research, all that kind of stuff, build your own models. You can also just check Torrey Pines South, so you're not pulling in the Torrey Pines North data, although there won't be much because it doesn't have Shot Tracker, but you can isolate down to that course and see how people have played just that course, as well as any other courses you want. This week it's playing as a par 71. It normally plays as a par 72 for the Farmers Insurance Open. Stretched it out. You know, I think they're talking 7,800-ish yards. Probably won't play that. It'll be different every day. You know, Kakua, rough. Poa greens, thick, thick, tall, rough. We've seen it already. We've seen the commercials. A lot of pressers going to matter this week. I'm looking for, I think Phil's is today. I really want to hear his, see how his takes are on the course. He's obviously been around there a lot, played it a lot. One thing I have heard already is one of the bigger difference now between when it's normally played is that how much firm and faster it is. So I think that'll help us a little bit because I think you're going to hear a narrative in the industry of bombers, 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 distance, distance, distance. And while that is important, and I'm going to talk about it as well, these hitting these fairways in the right spot, especially if you get a lot of rollout, it's going to bring some other guys into play. A guy that can hit, you know, more fairways with the rollout is going to have somewhat of an advantage, even to the guys that are maybe bombing it, but they're in that thick rough. So we'll probably only see 50, 60% fairways hit anyways. But if they do get to trust that it's going to be firm and fast, and this week has no rain, no weather, it looks beautiful, mid-70s, very little wind, 8 to 10, 15 mile an hour, nothing crazy. It looks gorgeous. So you got to think if they're going to get it firm and fair or firm and fast, that that rollout will help some of these guys that don't have just the big bomb it off the tee. Doesn't mean I'm against bombers, but I do think there are some guys that we can look at that may get avoided just because of their driving distance statistics. I have the cut playing around plus five or plus six. It is going to be that hard. I feel pretty good about that. I think in 08, it was as high as plus seven. It is T60 in ties this week. So when you got 156 guys, if you only have 60 make it, I mean, that's a huge chunk of the field gone. So that's what I talked about earlier. So that's, you know, only at least 38% of the field making the cut, 39%. So with that, you know, naturally, unless we get a big tie where we get maybe 70, which is still going to be less than half the field makes the deal, you're just naturally going to have a lower 6-6. I would almost say it's a lock that 5% or less will be the 6-6 number. Could get 7-8% certainly, and maybe all the chalk makes it. I mean, it could happen, but I just think naturally the way things go, it's going to be a very low 6-6 percentage. Winner, I went with minus two, minus three. I legitimately think we could see everybody over par this week. If it plays the way that we're hearing and the greens are that firm, you know, it could play. I'm going to give, you know, this, you know, with the equipment and the way that the strength of this field in general, top to let's say middle, is very, very strong. So you don't just have a few guys like back in the Tiger Day or wherever, Tiger Phil, whoever. Somebody may, you know, if you average one under a day, you're winning this thing. So keep that in mind as we start talking strategy, all that kind of stuff. It's something I'm going to hit on very in depth with the premium content this week. Prior winners, obviously, it's a big boy course. I mean, Tiger, Rory, Rose back in 13, Spieth, DJ, Brooks, Woodland, and Bryson. And remember Woodland, that Pebble didn't get the win that they needed. 13 under won that, so a little bit different setup there. You know, Bryson was the only one last year to shoot over par or under par at minus six. I think Wolf was even. So last year played extremely tough, and I think we will see that this year as well. Six guys have won it three plus times, the U.S. Open, including Tiger. 22 guys have won at least two U.S. Opens. The only person in this field to win two is Brooks this year. Key stats for me, you know, first, I just want, you know, as we start, the stats are important. I'm going to be looking at great drives. I'm looking at ball striking, irons, which is a combo of approach to around the green. I'm looking at bogey avoidance, which is going to be huge this week. Opportunities inside 18 feet, and then fairways and regulation. I think it's important this week to an extent, not all be all in be all, but I think as you start combining this stuff, my deep dive stuff, I'm going to look at some birdie, some DK scoring statistics, because I do want to see guys that have the ability to get on some runs or at least get, you know, maybe a streak or an eagle, even though they may do a bogey, double bogey type deal. You know, Holland comes to mind. He scores well when it comes to DK. You know, last year we had – so T17 at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot was plus eight. So top 20 guys last year, they shot plus eight. 39 guys that made the cut, and I think there was only 61 on the cut last year, shot plus 10 or worse by the time the thing was over. So not a ton of scoring there, putting even more emphasis on constructing lineups with the thought of does my guy legitimately have a chance to get up in the top, at least top 20, top 10 potentially, but I would aim for some top 20 upside. Because those finishing points are going to mean so much this week. We're going to see tons of over par scores, guys that are able to get an eagle. They're probably going to be rare this week. Guys that are able to get three birdies, even though they may go, you know, four bogeys in the round, they shoot plus one, but they get a streak. Those bonus points are going to really add up this week and matter to an extent. I mean, it's not the end all be all, but we got to kind of take all this stuff into consideration. Salary ranges this week, we have 5 in the 10K, 7 in the 9K, 11 in the 8K. We have 40 in the 7K now, with Higo being added at 7,200 and 96 in the 6K range. So that gives us, I had it up here, let me redo it. 87% of the field is 7,900 or less. So, I mean, you're really making, I mean, that's going to be where it's won and lost this week. Cause I just said it. You got 13% of the field is the first three salary ranges. Although those are the ones that are talked about and we got to make tough choices up there. Well, it's really won and lost this week is where you pick and choose to go at in the 7K and then sprinkle in 6K stuff. I mean, 136 guys in the 6 and 7K range. That's enormous. I mean, there's 40 guys I've already marked out. These guys that got in U.S. Open, they qualified, they bust their butt. I get it. Great. Good for them. Maybe one of those type guys sneaks through. But by and large, there's easily 40 guys in that 6K range, if not half. 50, you can probably just automatically, as Bobby would say, red cross them out. You're just not using any time on that. We're going to focus on about the 40 in the 7K and about 40-ish, 45-ish in the 6K that we're really trying to grind down and figure out who gives us good chances, especially in the large MMEs. If you're looking for the Millie Maker in the $10, the big $5, 100K up top this week, or maybe you're going to throw 20 in the $100, something like that. I mean, those big MME pots, that's really where you're going to have to put some focus and time and effort this week, I think. The guys up top, you're splitting hairs. I mean, there's some that are good fades, and you can go with that, and we're going to have to do that as well. But it's so few guys. There's 23 total in the 8, 9, 10K range that they're the cream of the crop. Like, I'll cut, four or five out. If I'm doing, let's say I'm going to max a mini max or one of those types, or even the $1, $3, $5, or $10, whatever it is, I'm going to have a lot of those guys in it. That's not where I'm making my cuts this week. It's going to be, which 20 or so do I pick from 7K? Which 10 to 15 from the 6K do I sprinkle? Or maybe I go 30, something like that. That's where we're going to be grinding out the data and research and making and a little bit of, luck, a little gut feel on some of these guys. 9K and above, if you're new to the pod, I appreciate it. We always get new followers this week. Hope you guys stick around. The growth around here is great right now. Truly appreciate all the support you guys have done for Gup's Corner. Big things coming in the fall with football. We've already got baseball rolling, basketball, NASCAR. Ryan's just absolutely killing that. MMA, I had one fight left. I was winning the 200K Saturday night. Didn't go my way, but, I was close. 6-0, had several 6-0 lineups. Tommy's been on fire, around his picks. So, and the nice thing about our package is everything comes as one. Like, we don't break it out. You don't got to pay more. It's one price, always is. You're locked in for life when you come and join us. And the community is second to none. So I think you'll really enjoy it. Our tools, admittedly aren't the best out there yet, but we have progressed in the last year tremendously, and it's only getting better. And I think that the community would vouch for that. So back to the Sweet 16, I give you three main picks and then a bubble boy for majors. I give you two bubble boys just to get a little extra talk going on there. I got a fade, a sleeper, some gut fills, talk about betting, one and done, and then we get on out of here. 9K and above, I'm going to start it off with probably going to be one of the chalkiest guys, and it's Xander. I mean, I go back to him. I played him, at Memorial pretty high. I played him at the PGA Championship. He missed the cut, obviously hurt me. But it's just hard to ignore him. I know he's going to be high owned, so I'm going to have to fade some high owned elsewhere or be light. But his last four U.S. Opens, 5th, 6th, 3rd, 5th. It's just hard to overlook that. I'm just not going to get too cute this week in those kind of spots. I like his price. It seems cheap. So it's pretty simple for me. Alexander, $9,300 bucks. Brooks, missed the cut last week. I was big on Brooks DJ. I kind of even wrote that up and such. I love both of them. I picked DJ to win it, but it didn't matter which way you went there. I liked them both, so I'll eat a little crow on the Brooks call. But I liked where he was at. I liked how he talked. I think he's focused, ready to play this week. His last four U.S. Opens. Mind you, he didn't play Wingfoot last year, but a 13th, a first, and a second. So I love Brooks. I think there's going to be a lot of Brooks Bryson lineups, not only because of the big brouhaha stuff, but it you can do it because they're both where they're priced. I don't mind Bryson, and I'll get to him later. That's going to come down to an ownership deal for me. I don't know if he's going to be super popular. I imagine he is. But if he is, I would rather eat chalk on Xander and then just either fade or go light on Bryson. Or I do both and then just cut out everybody else. Don't play Rom. Don't play Speed. Maybe field average on DJ or something like that. So that's some of the strategy stuff we'll get into over the next 24, 48 hours. But I like Brooks as my number two pick right here. I like Hovland. I don't know where he's going to shake out in this whole deal. He's a guy I talked about in the scoring stuff. I mean, he can very sneakily outperform his finishing position in DraftKings points. He's got a 12th and a 13th in his first two U.S. Opens. So I love that. Fifth in recent form for me. And with Xander being right there at 93, you got Cantley 100 less, Morikawa right there, 95. A lot of options there. Reed, I'm sure, will be popular coming off, you know, his win here. And plus he plays long, hard course as well. Hovland typically is owned pretty well. So I'm interested to see kind of what the pulse of him is this week with the move and everything. I know there's already pods out there, so I'm looking forward to listening to him tonight and all, you know, into the morning, gym time, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I've not been in the loop of much with the move, but I'm interested to get the pulse of the industry. My bubble boys are Rory slash DJ. I will be all in on Rory if he's kind of the left alone guy. I get it, and I worry as well with his driving. But that's a thing of his he's excelled so great on historically with the time away since Memorial. He's still got 18th there. The pricing at 9,900, like him and JT were kind of like those odd man that I think could get just either people are going to pay up to Brooks and Bryson, are they going to drop down to the Shoffley type? So I could see those two being somewhat lower owned. JT probably the lowest owned out of all that. Rory didn't have the greatest U.S. Open last five, you know, miscut, but then he had a ninth and an eighth. So an eighth at Wingfoot last year. If he's just going to be kind of that middle guy this week, not really truly talked up at that price, it just makes sense to take a risk on a guy that level. DJ, I'm interested. I think if he would have won, it would have shot his ownership up a lot because he kind of stumbled again. He still finished all right. You know, just that triple killed him. Just didn't have the driver on point Sunday, really the weekend in total, but was still right there. You know, his track record at the U.S. Opens is as good as, you know, just about anybody. Obviously, Brooks has the best. But, you know, his last 5 years, a first, a miscut, a third, a 35th, and a sixth. So, I like DJ. DJ Rory is going to be in that spot of where's the ownership come and where do I decide to make either being really light on guys or making hard cuts when it comes to Bryson, Rom, really are the two that I got to kind of figure out there. 8K range, my top play is Willie Z. I'm all in on that. Released that bet back in April for him to win the U.S. Open at 55-1. So that's a good number we got locked in early. A sixth last year at Wingfoot. So I you know, lock and load for me. I love Willie Z this week. Oosty, I'm not a big Oosty guy in general, but it's hard to ignore him at majors, especially U.S. Open. His last five U.S. Opens, 23rd, 23rd, 16th, 7th, 3rd. POA splits, he's second in the field for me. So while his stats aren't going to pop for you anywhere, he's one of those guys I talk about that he will know how to play this place and put his ball in the right position, let the rollout get there, and just stay alive. Like, he's just going to grind out all week long. And, you know, he could shoot +4. That may be top 10 this week. So I'm not going to overthink that. That's another spot I'm just not going to overthink this week. So I like Usti. Finau, this was close between my next three guys. Finau, Berger, Scheffler. They're all right there with me. Ownership will dictate where I go heavy. I like Finau. I do wonder if he's going to be the chalky guy down here, which doesn't bother me because I kind of feel with Higo and Niebuhr and all these guys, I kind of feel Willie Z may go under the radar coming in this week, which I love. And the another guy that I won't get to, he didn't quite make the list for me. He makes another list down the road is Matsu. So if Finau is going to be super chalky and all that kind of stuff, I don't mind by Wednesday coming back and saying, hey, here's a spot I'm going to fade. But purely sitting here, just right off the cusp, I like Finau. You know, he's 10th in my final model, 8,900 is cheap. Historically, does well at majors, so I like him. We'll see where I'm at on him come Wednesday. And then the bubble boys were Berger and Scheffler. I don't think either two of them are going to garnish a ton of ownership. So I think I can get them low-owned, decently priced, 85 and 8,400. And both their games can fit here pretty decently. Berger's 8 in putting splits on POA. Scheffler's average to the field. A little bit better than average, actually. So I don't mind Scheffler this week as a low-owned type guy. 7K, I like Paul Casey kicking it off. That's a big no surprise. He's probably going to be a guy I have to digest the ownership type stuff and see how much I want to be on him. But he's 2nd in my overall model, 7th in stats, 4th in recent form, 8th in course fit. His last 4 U.S. Opens, a 26th, a 16th, a 21st, and a 17th. His POA splits aren't great. He's just below average. But 7,900 for him, I mean, I think that's a good play. He's my not going to overthink it spot. I have one of these in each price range, it seems. Hoffman, he's been kind of popular. I don't know if he'll pop here or not. I think he should get a little bit of ownership at 7,200. I don't think he'll be crazy. Hasn't played the U.S. Open the last 2 years, but before that, pretty good. A 20th, an 8th, and a 37th. Better than average on POA splits with 47th in the field. Stat wise, he's 10th for me. He's 4th overall in my total model. Can get a little wayward off the tee at times, but he's been playing so great that, you know, with the form coming in, I really like him. And that's a great price point this week for a guy that has a top 20 upside for sure. And then Kokrek right there, same thing. Great driver of the ball, hits the long irons well, better than average on POA. His 3 U.S. Opens, which was Oakmont, Erin Hills, and Wingfoot, 37th, a 53rd, and 17th, respectfully. So I like him a lot. He obviously won the Charles Schwab, a 49th at the PGA, which was tough conditions. I like that he got a 17th last year at Wingfoot, super tough as well. Similar in the sense of the thick rough, fairways are important. But 7,600 seems like he's underpriced to me. So I will take Kokrek at 7,600 this week. My two bubble boys are Neiman and Wallace. Neiman's a guy I play a lot. Wallace is a guy I don't play much. But I did play him the last time he played, and so I don't mind him at all. I think he's in a good spot and a good price. Neiman's not a guy – I don't think he'll get chalky at all, and he's not a guy I want to be just ton this week. I don't know where his overall game is. He's been okay lately, but just nothing popping. He did finish 23rd last year. Now, mind you, 23rd was like plus 10, so it's not like extraordinary golf at Wingfoot. But compared to the field, that's good. Matt Wallace, a 12th at Pebble, a 43rd at Wingfoot, 2 missed cuts before that at the U.S. Opens. He's coming in with okay form. Tee to green's been great, just hadn't been able to putt, but he's about average on POA here. So 7,100 is another good price, like Hoffman. He's 21st from overall model. So Wallace is a guy I have my eye on, and then Neiman at 7,500 as well. 6K range, start off with Chan Kim. I had to finally dig into him. He popped up at the PGA when we were researching for that. I wound up putting him as a good flyer play that week. Nothing crazy. I just said he was, he's when he does play over here, he's played well. Finished 12th at WGC. And then he comes in that week at PGA and he finishes 23rd. So I was like, and then he pops up again today. It's obviously limited data, but he does well over the Japan Tour. 15th in stats, 2nd in course fit for me. That's obviously limited. He's played 3 U.S. Opens, not made the cut, but last year he missed the cut on the number. So, you know, sometimes that, you know, we take that with a grain of salt, especially in an event like this. And when we need value at times, I mean, 6,100, he's 18th just in my raw model. I'm sure that'll adjust some because I got deep dive into the numbers, but I'm not going to overlook him this time. I'm going to give him a shot. Like he showed the PGA Championship, finished 23rd. And before that, he was kind of on the radar anyway. So I'll go Chan Kim at 6,100. I'll go Vegas, 6,800. I think that's a great price for him. He was right there yesterday in the thick of things. He can drive the ball great, so he's going to have that advantage. He's seventh in great drives for me. If he can do irons and around the green, I think he can be there, at least in contention. And top 20 upside. That's what we're looking for at a 6,800 guy. You know, make the cut and then give me a top 20 upside. And Vegas has that for me. Coming in with okay form, a 9th at AT&T, a 69th at Charles Schwab, and then I think he was top 10 yesterday. He kind of fell off a little bit late, but I think he still finished in the top 10. Had a 41st at Shinnecock Hills, 2 missed cuts at Erin Hills and Pebble, though, as U.S. Open history last 5 years goes. My last play in this range, EVR, showed some flashes this week at Palmetto. I like that. Not a guy that I normally get on, you know, overall. I don't think he'll be – I don't think anybody in the 6K range is just going to be, you know, super popular this week. He's right, you know, right there for me. You're like 70th overall, which is going to be in the mix this week. But what I did like is that, you know, 43rd at Pebble, 23rd last year at Wingfoot. So good history on the U.S. Opens. He's dead average on POA, so nothing great, but nothing horrible. And I like that he had a little bit of form last week. $6,700. He's a guy that I don't mind taking some pieces of. Some my bubble boys in the 6K range. Because there's 96 guys, I'll give you 3 that I got at my on. Batia, who I go to a lot. I like him. I think he can hit fairways. If I remember right, he started out first round leader at the Farmers Insurance Open, maybe. I think that's where I are, close to it. I like Lanto anytime under 7K. You know, Rick Rungood's always talked about that, so I don't mind Lanto. And then Wyndham Clark is the third guy that kind of will be in my radar. You know, great off the tee, we know that. Struggles elsewhere. 44th in POA splits, which isn't terrible. It's better than the field average on the field. It's just the rest of his game is struggles at time, but he's coming in okay form-ish. 39th at AT&T, 75th at the PGA, so at least he made the cut at the PGA. 20th at Charles Schwab, did miss the cut at Memorial, and he did not play Palmetto. So these are flyer guys, you know, those 2 or 3, 4, 5, maybe not less than 5% on all those guys, but those are guys that keep it. Lanto may get a little bit above it, but other guys, these are guys, you know, MME flyers type stuff. Sorry. My fade of the week is going to be Morikawa as of now. You know, I got 35th at Pebble, but Pebble didn't play like a long, hard track. Missed a cut at Wingfoot. I just think of all the guys up here and the guys that are going to be higher owned, he's the one that I may have to be super light on at best. We'll see as we get to Wednesday. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't mind him if he's kind of under the radar. I'd much rather play Shoffley, Hovland. I know he can get there, and he rates out well. He's 77th in great drives, though. He's 45th in bogey avoidance. He's 101st in POA splits. So there are some signs, and I'm just, you know, you're nitpicking, but when you're trying to talk about fading one of these big, I could talk about a middle guy to fade that, but that's not very fun for you guys. But he's a guy that if I'm up here and I'm trying to make 2 or 3 guys, I'm be either fade or super light on so I can get overweight elsewhere. He's the one right now that I'm looking at 15% or more that I would be super light on or fade. He's coming in good. I mean, good, great form. 8th at PGA, 14th at Charles Schwab, 2nd at Memorial. Nothing I can argue about him. It's just I may go. I'm just going to go elsewhere. You know, so I'll be light on him at best. My sleeper of the week is going to be Sam Burns. I'm interested to see if his name gets popped up a lot. $7,700. He's 4th in my stats. 36 in recent form. Remember, he got 2nd at AT&T. Then he withdrew from the PGA. 50th at Memorial. He did play Shinnecock Hills, 41st there. Missed a cut back at Oakmont. I think he was an amateur that year. He's 6th in POA splits for me. Kind of surprised me there. You know, all the stats I'm looking at, I mean, he's 4th overall, so he's right there for me. 2nd in bogey avoidance, 11th in great drives, 20th in irons. there's not a lot to hate about him. 13th in opportunities inside 18 feet. I think he can make some noise this week, and I like him. I'm hoping he kind of goes under the radar, off the radar this week. So keep an eye on Sam Burns, sleeper of the week. Some gut fill plays. So guys that did not make this, I normally give you four. I'll give you an extra one today. Reed, he's 24th in my model. I like Reed. Siwoo Kim, 33rd in my model. He's one that missed a cut on the number. No, I think he shot two over the cut last year. I think cut was plus six and he shot plus eight or plus nine. He did finish 13th at Erin Hills, but he's three missed cuts. He's 28th on POA. He's 13th in my stats. Ninth out at Memorial, then a withdrawal missed cut before that, 55th at AT&T. Again, I don't think Siwoo's going to be on many radars, but I think he's worth a good look this week. Brian Harman is a guy that may get, you know, he's not the biggest bomber off the tee, but he's a guy that I trust, kind of like an Usti type. I think he'll be hitting fairways, good with the long irons, seventh in bogey avoidance. His track record at the U.S. Opens, a second, a 36th, and a 38th. So at $7,400, a guy that can get me that made cut is high percentage, and then top 20 for sure, maybe top 30. I like Harman, Max Homa, Cali kid. I like him a lot this week. 29th on POA, a sixth at Memorial, a miscut at PGA though, a miscut last year at Wingfoot. 37th in the stat model overall. He may get talked of a little bit just being local, but I don't see him being super crazy owned. So he's a guy I like to go to. And Matsu, I'm interested to see where Matsu gets talked this week. He's right in that price zone that's, Finau's right above him, Webb's right below him, Zalatoris is below him. Cantley's right above him. Reed's right above him. So he's squished here between a lot of guys. 8,800 for, the Masters champ. His last four U.S. Opens, a second, a 16th, a 21st, and a 17th. So worst was a 21st. I like that a lot. We know putting's always going to be an issue, but I think putting's going to be tough for everybody this week. Stats aren't great, but remember he went through that little down cycle, even before the Masters. So long-term stats probably won't be as exciting. It's more of a gut feel play. That's why I put it there, right? He's a guy, especially if he's going to be low owned and he's that cheap, I'll have some Matsu this week. Top five that pop and two long shots brought to you by Monkey Knife Fight. Use the code GUPS, G-U-P-S, get 100% match up to $50 for the U.S. Open and all the other sports they have there. As I mentioned, I released Willie Z at 55-1 on April 12th to the premium members, so we got that locked in. I like Rory at 20-1. I think that's a solid number for a guy that can be the best player in the world at his peak. I like Brooks or DJ. They're both around 16 from what I'm seeing. I think it's just hard not to say that one of these top 20 ranked guys or priced guys are going to win. The odds are it's going to come out of that group. So I think you can start there with one of those guys, get you a good little middle, and then throw some flyers in is one way to go about it. I like having Willie Z at 55 instead of having to get him. I think he's around 30, 33 right now. So that gives me a little leverage on the week betting wise. I like Kokrak 70. I like Reed 28. I like Matsu, who I just mentioned, 33. I think those are all good plays. Long shots I like. Siwoo's 100. Matt Wallace is 100. I think those are good plays of, especially with some each ways at those high of numbers. I don't hate that. I think Wallace at 100 is a really good bet. That's probably the free bet of the week. I went ahead and made that as soon as I saw it as a long shot play. So you can go ahead and book that up. I don't mind Willie Z at 33 if you want to go there. Obviously, having him at 55 is much better. But I would still be thinking hard. He may drift. He may wait, see if he drifts to a 35 or a 40. So I wouldn't mind jumping on that either. One and done. I mean, this is, it's big boy territory. You use the best player you have left that's up there, whether it be Bryson, Rahm, Brooks, DJ, Spieth, Shoffley, Cantley, any of those guys I think are valid. They're all valid this week. Reed, if you have multiple, then go to pick your favorite, I guess, out of those. It kind of depends on where you're at in the overall grand scheme of things. I have a couple that are up there decent, so I'll have to deep dive into that, and I'll get my final five on Wednesday. Kenny Kim will be joining me Wednesday. We'll probably shoot for around, 4:30 Eastern time, 5 Eastern time. You know, probably be a longer E9, get a lot of people in there, have some fun. Looking forward to that. That's always a great time, especially for a major. We get to dissect everything or digest everything over the next 48 hours. And then him and I, we typically don't talk a whole lot between Monday through Wednesday because it makes that show that much more organic. And we, you know, get to talk naturally and kind of go balance things off each other. And so we've had great feedback from the premium members. So get joined up now. That premium show is included. All content's included in the premium. So you get to use, if you're using your free trial, come check us out. Come check Kenny and I out on Wednesday. Don't forget, use the code US Open to get 30% off any package, even the weekly. If you want to give us a weekly, you'll get this week free, and then next week you'll get charged. If you want to stay, if you want to leave, we don't prove we're worth it. That's fine. No harm, no foul, but I think you'll enjoy it. Really looking forward to the week. I think it's a week of a lot of strategy to go into it because of finishing positions projected very low 6 of 6. You know, so let's have some conversations with the premium members on, you know, do we build top heavy and throw some Chan Kim or lower 600 Troy Merritt? You know, he's up in my top 60. These kind of guys saying, well, if I get my guy in, great, but at least I was able to build some better lineups with these lower and just hoping you hit the 5 of 6 that has the nuts. I can't necessarily say that. I think I want to build every lineup I build to get 6 of 6, but I think strategy, especially MME wise, two things are big to take into consideration this week. Number one is going to be the finishing position points and how they matter mixed with DK scoring. That stuff is going to matter. The guys that can get birdie streaks and stuff, and where we project 95% of the field to finish over par this week as a total score, that stuff's going to matter this week. It certainly is. And then a very low 6 of 6 is likely. So while we never want to build around that, how does that mind frame change anything we do? If it does, you know, I don't know. I'm going to do some deep diving on that. I think Wednesday's E9 will be terrific. I'll hit more on some of that stuff on Tuesday's tidbits and Wednesday's movers and shakers for sure. I appreciate everything. Slowly but surely we'll get the backdrop all filled in, but really enjoying the new house and thank you guys for your patience as I did the move last weekend. Looking forward to a nonstop week this week. Have a blessed day and we'll see you tomorrow.